Chapter 40. The funeral for Mo Teal was held at the Willow Road Methodist Church, number 36 on my list and one of my favorites. It was barely in the city limits of Clanton, south of the square. Because I had never met Mr. Teal, I did not go to his funeral. However, there were many in attendance who had never met him. Had he died of a heart attack at the age of 51, it would have been sudden and tragic, and his final service would have drawn an impressive crowd. But being gunned down in a revenge killing by a freshly paroled murderer was simply too much for the curious to resist. The mob included long-forgotten high school acquaintances of Mr. Teal's four adult children, and meddling old widows who seldom missed a good funeral, and out-of-town reporters, and several gentlemen whose only contact with Mo was the fact that they owned John Deere tractors. I stayed away and worked on his obituary. His oldest son had been kind enough to stop by the office and give me the details. He was 33. Mo and his wife jump-started their family, and he sold new Fords over in Tupelo. He stayed for almost 2 hours, and desperately wanted me to assure him that Danny Paget was about to be hauled in and stoned. Interment was at the Clanton Cemetery. The funeral procession stretched for blocks, and for good measure swung by the square and proceeded down Jackson Avenue, just outside the Times. It did not disrupt traffic at all. Everyone was at the funeral. Using Harry Rex as an intermediary, Lucian Wilbanks arranged a meeting with Sheriff McNatt. I was specifically mentioned by Lucian and specifically not invited. Didn't matter. Harry Rex took notes and told me everything with the understanding that nothing would get printed. Also present in Lucian's office was Rufus Buckley, the district attorney who had succeeded Ernie Gaddis in 1975. Buckley was a publicity hog who, though reluctant to meddle in Paget's parole, was now anxious to lead the mob to lynch him. Harry Rex despised Buckley, and the feelings were mutual. Lucian despised him too, but then Lucian disliked virtually everyone because everyone certainly disliked him. Sheriff McNatt hated Lucian, tolerated Harry Rex, and was forced to work the same side of the street with Buckley, though he loathed him in private. Given those conflicting sentiments, I was quite pleased not to be invited to the meeting. Lucian began by saying that he had talked with both Danny Paget and his father, Gil. They had met somewhere outside of Clanton and away from the island. Danny was doing fine, working each day in the office of the family's highway contracting firm, that office being conveniently located within the safe harbor of Paget Island. Not surprisingly, Danny denied any involvement in the murders of Lenny Farguson and Mo Teal. He was shocked by what was happening and angry that he was widely considered to be the chief suspect. Lucian emphasized that he grilled Danny at length, even to the point of irritating him, and he never showed the slightest hint of dishonesty. Lenny Farguson was shot on the afternoon of May 23rd. At that time, Danny was in his office, and there were four people who could vouch for his presence there. The Farguson home was at least a 30-minute drive from Paget Island, and the four witnesses were certain that Danny was either in his office or very close to it throughout the afternoon.
"How many of these witnesses are named Paget?" McNatt asked.
"We're not given names yet," Lucian said, stonewalling as any good lawyer should.
11 days later, on June 3rd, Mo Teal was shot at approximately 9:15 in the morning. At that precise moment, Danny was standing beside a newly paved highway in Tippah County, getting documents signed by one of the Paget construction foremen. The foreman, along with two laborers, was willing to testify as to exactly where Danny was at that moment. The highway job was at least 2 hours away from Ned Rezuk's farm in eastern Ford County. Lucian presented airtight alibis for both murders, though his small audience was very skeptical. Of course, the Pagets would deny everything, and given their capacity to lie, break legs, and bribe with serious cash, they could find witnesses for anything. Sheriff McNatt voiced his skepticism. He explained to Lucian that his investigation was continuing,
and if and when he had probable cause, he would get his arrest warrant and descend upon the island. He had spoken several times with the state police, and if 100 troopers were necessary to flush out Danny, then so be it. Lucian said that would not be necessary. If a valid arrest warrant was obtained, he would do his best to bring the boy in himself.
"And if there's another killing," McNatt said, "this place will erupt. You'll have 1,000 rednecks crossing the bridge and shooting every Paget they can find."
Buckley said that he and Judge Omar Noose had spoken twice about the killings, and he was reasonably confident that Noose was almost ready to issue a warrant for Danny's arrest. Lucian attacked him with a barrage of questions about probable cause and sufficient evidence. Buckley argued that the threat by Paget during his trial was ample reason to suspect him of the murders. The meeting deteriorated as the two argued heatedly over nitpicking legalities. The sheriff finally broke it up by announcing he'd heard enough and walked out of Lucian's office. Buckley followed. Harry Rex hung around and chatted with Lucian in a much more relaxed setting.